It seems a queer coincidence that the completion of this particular lesson should have happened on Christmas Eve. Yet I am glad that it has, for this has provided me with sufficient justification for reminding you that nowhere in the entire history of civilization could I have found stronger support of the fundamentals of this lesson than may be found in the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. Christianity is one of the greatest and most far-reaching influences in the world today, and I hardly need apologize for reminding you that the tenets of Christ's philosophy are in absolute harmony with the fundamentals upon which this lesson in the main is founded. As I see the happy faces of the children and watch the hurrying crowds of belated Christmas shoppers, all radiant with the splendor of the spirit of giving, I cannot help wishing that every Eve was Christmas Eve, for then this would be a better world in which the struggle for existence would be reduced to a minimum and hatred and strife outlawed. Life is but a short span of years at best. Like a candle, we are lighted, flicker for a moment, and then go out. If we were placed here for the purpose of laying up treasures for use in a life that lies beyond the dark shadow of death, may it not be possible that we can best collect these treasures by rendering all the service we can to all the people we can in a loving spirit of kindness and sympathy? I hope you agree with this philosophy. Here this lesson must end, but it is by no means completed. Where I lay down the chain of thought, it is now your duty to take it up and develop it in your own way and to your own benefit. By the very nature of the subject of this lesson, it can never be finished, for it leads into the heart of all human activities. Its purpose is to cause you to take the fundamentals upon which it is based and use them as a stimulus that will cause your mind to unfold, thereby releasing the latent forces that are yours. This lesson was not written for the purpose of teaching you, but it was intended as a means of causing you to teach yourself one of the great truths of life. It was intended as a source of education in the true sense of educing, drawing out, developing from within those forces of mind which are available for your use. When you deliver the best service of which you are capable, striving each time to excel all your previous efforts, you are making use of the highest form of education. Therefore, when you render more service and better service than that for which you are paid, you, more than anyone else, are profiting by the effort. It is only through the delivery of such service that mastery in your chosen field of endeavor can be attained. For this reason, you should make it a part of your definite chief aim to endeavor to surpass all previous records in all that you do. Let this become a part of your daily habits, and follow it with the same regularity with which you eat your meals. Make it your business to render more service and better service than that for which you are paid, and lo, before you realize what has happened, you will find that the world is willingly paying you for more than you do. Compound interest upon compound interest is the rate that you will be paid for such service. Just how this pyramiding of gains takes place is left entirely to you to determine. Now, what are you going to do with that which you have learned from this lesson, and when, and how, and why? This lesson can be of no value to you unless it moves you to adopt and use the knowledge that it has brought you. Knowledge becomes power only through organization and use. Do not forget this. You can never become a leader without doing more than you are paid for, and you cannot become successful without developing leadership in your chosen occupation. The Mastermind, an after-the-lesson visit with the author. A power that can bring you whatever you want on this earth. Success is achieved through the application of power. Visualize two forms of power. At the left, see physical power produced by nature with the aid of organized raindrops pouring over Niagara Falls. Man has harnessed this form of power. At the right, imagine another and a much more intensive form of power produced through the harmonious coordination of thought in the minds of men. Observe that the word harmonious has been emphasized. Visualize a group of men seated at the director's table in a modern business office. A powerful figure rising above the group represents the mastermind, which may be created wherever men blend their minds in a spirit of perfect harmony with some definite objective in view. Study your mental picture. It interprets the greatest power known to man. With the aid of the mind, man has discovered many interesting facts about the earth on which he lives, the air and the ether that fills the endless space about him, and the millions of other planets and heavenly bodies that float through space. With the aid of a little mechanical contrivance, which his mind conceived, called a spectroscope, man has discovered, at a distance of 93 million miles, the nature of the substances of which the sun is made. We have lived through the Stone Age, the Iron Age, the Copper Age, the Religious Fanatic Age, the Scientific Research Age, the Industrial Age, and we enter now the Age of Thought. Out of the spoils of the Dark Ages through which man has passed, he has saved much material that is sound food for thought. While for more than 10,000 years, the battle between ignorance, superstition, and fear on the one side and intelligence on the other has raged, man has picked up some useful knowledge.